of the Lord. I'm going to preach a simple thought today from the scriptures here. The title is going to be the Word of Faith, simply the Word of Faith. And you'll see that statement as we read through the passage here in just a moment. Hopefully some of the strength in you, and keep your eyes toward the Lord and really the power. It's one thing to say the Word of God has power, but it's one thing to practice it and actually put it in the power, you know. So let's hopefully see some things that will strengthen us and that we actually will live by the Word, not just know about the Word. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God says this, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For brethren, record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For what saith, Whosoever believeth on him, for the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, thank you for the Bible today. Just take a simple truth, a passage you know we've preached before. But Lord, I yield myself to Thee. I pray Your will be done through the preaching of the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I thank you for standing. We'll look at a few thoughts today. First thing, as we work our way down through the passage, is simply the compassion for the Word. As Paul brings us, he's bringing us to the place where he talks about and tells us about the Word of Faith. But he has a compassion regarding that word, his desire of his heart. And he said in verse 1, he says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, the Israelites were a religiously zealous people. They were busy people. It says, I've read in record that they have a zeal of God. They even had a zeal toward God. And I believe a zeal toward the right God. But the Bible said that their zeal was not according to knowledge. And Paul was, his heart's desire is that they really could be saved. That they really would know that this zeal of God would not just be a zeal in ignorance. It would be a zeal that they would really follow the Lord. I was looking at a passage in Mark chapter 4 today, a passage you're familiar with, when the disciples were on the boat with Christ, and he was in the ship, asleep. And he calmed the storm. And later, after he did the miracle and stopped the wind and the sea, the disciples said this, What manner of man is this? So here the disciples were. They were with Christ, and they did not even know the God that was with them. And I believe Paul had a burden for the Israelites the same way. We understand from what the psalmist said, David, how he said there was no place you could go where God could not be. He said, Whither shall I go from thy presence? He could not escape the presence of God. He said even if he went to the depths of hell, God was there. And we know from passages like Romans chapter 8, how nothing shall separate us from the love of God. But that does not mean that a person is saved. If Paul had a burden, these people were actually zealous toward God. Because it said the zeal of God didn't have a small g there. Because if you read in the Old Testament, different times in the Bible, sometimes we have a little g, talking about the God of this present world, different gods that are served, but they have a zeal toward God, but it was not according to knowledge, it was not according to the powerful Word of God. He wanted them, he had a compassion, he had a heart's desire that they really would know the Word of Faith. And as a Christian, been serving the Lord for a few years, that's my desire, because I see religiously jealous people that have a zeal toward God, but doesn't seem to bear any fruit. And it's heartbreaking. And I wonder, and I pray that hopefully that all that have that zeal of God, my kinsmen according to the flesh and my kinsmen according to any flesh, because we're all from Adam and Eve, my heart's desire is that they may be saved. And verse 3 says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, I was thinking about this passage here. When people don't really know God, and they have a zeal toward God, they just basically set up their own rules. And you know what I find? You know, if you really think about this, you know what's happened? You know how we can really find out how weak we are? When we set up our own rules and we fail our own rules. I was thinking today how different things we do. Even like the Bible reading schedule is good. I think it's different times that I've had the same goal to read through the Bible and I didn't do it. But because I approached it as a rule, or something that I thought would be good to make me spiritual, I set up a something that I would think would help make me righteousness. Maybe you have a goal, you're going to pray a certain time every day, for certain minutes every day, because you think it'll help you. And you set that up and you fail even that. Oh, you have your own way of what you're serving God, and then you fail your own things you set up. Because it allows us to see how weak that we really are. And God is always interested in the relationship. And you know, no matter the thing about a relationship, as long as there's communication, the relationship will grow. And especially if it's godly communication. But when the communication lines are open, then things can happen. Because you can have a loyalty. You know, just like I remember I mentioned to you one time I was talking to this lady in Walmart. Was married 20-some-odd years, and all of a sudden her husband just took off. And they were committed. They were together for all those years. But there was no communication. Just a moment of time. No communion either. But they mean, verse 3, they mean ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And it breaks Paul's heart that they use God, they have God as an idea of what they're trying to approach to, but they really haven't submitted themselves unto God's way of doing things. And that's what hurts them, because they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In verse 4, he's trying to bring this thought across home about, again, knowing God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The strength of salvation, the strength of is Christ himself. Knowing Christ. Fellowship with Christ. Walking with Christ. It's not what we. It's no longer what we can do to approach God. It's only Christ alone. And Christ is the end of the law. And now, since the Bible says the way he's at end, especially once you know him, is that we love him because he first loved us. And the love is what compels you to submit to the righteousness of God. It's not that we have to do these things to approach to God, but it's the love of God. And recognizing that, wow, that how he so much loved me, I just want to return some of that love unto him. And the longer I serve the Lord, the more I understand the power of the choice of love. Just making the choice to love God and for who he is, and even the choice to love others. And one of the most powerful, liberating things you can ever do is just choose to love. Because, you know, you think about that. Since love, is, as I've said often, is like a one-way street, that's a goal. And one reason a chariot never failed is because love, a chariot in action, is something you can always succeed in. Because, you know, if everybody turns against you and hates you, you can still love. You think about it, you can't interrupt that choice, you know. And it's a marvelous. You think that's how powerful that really is, you know. Hey, it helps in witnessing. We need to charge your hosts about Christ. And because you set out, you're going to do it. Hey, especially when you look at Christ, the way he loved others, you know, I'm going to give because I can give. I'm going to love like God loved just because I want to. And he says, that's how Christ is the end of the law. Because, you know, when you take on that mindset, I don't have to, honestly, you know what? I don't have to look in the Bible to find out how I'm supposed to treat you. You know, just like when disciples asked Jesus, if my brother sinned against me, how many times do I forgive him? See, they were looking for legalism, you know. They were like, well, you know what they were asking? Lord, how much do I really have to put up with my brother? Hey, if he offends me, really, you know,
Lord, I kind of want to do your will. I want to be like you. And how long do I really have to put up with this? And Jesus said, and they said, 7 times 7? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. And you know, that was an amount they couldn't fathom. So you know what he was saying, basically, if the offenses, after the offenses got to a certain number, you would lose count. And so he said, just basically just love them. You know, just forget about the number and just give, and then you'll always be successful. And Christ is the end of the law. Then I'm no longer looking for what I can get by with, you know, and I'm looking for just how can I just be long suffering with God. You know, I was studying my Bible this morning, sitting at Tim Hortons in the and some guy came and asked me for money, you know, and I didn't even think about it today. I just, you know, here, God bless you, take it, go in the glory of the Lord, you know. And sometimes my mind says, how long do I, you know, I'm just being honest. Sometimes you think, man, always, everywhere you turn, just a panhandler, how long do you put up with this and put up with that? And I think about the long-suffering hand of God. And God loves. How many days has God given you strength when you didn't use your strength for Him the day before? How many times has God given you money when you didn't use the money that He gave you for Him? How many days has God given you anything, and the last anything you got, you didn't use it for Him, just because He's good, just because He's love? You know, if you're a parent, how many times have you fed your children when they weren't thankful for the meal they got the day before? How many times you do think, and when they didn't say thank you, and they could not say thank you, maybe when they were little, and especially a young toddler, sometimes you try to feed them something that's good for them, and they stick their tongue out, just kind of spit it back out. It's good for them, but they don't want it. You have those joys, look forward to when you have little children, you know, and you prepare that, you put them in there, and all of a sudden they act like you just put poison down their throat, you know. It was something good for them. It wasn't like it even tasted bad, you know. But the end of the law gives you that compassion that comes from Christ. Verse 5. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. So Moses described the law. This is what you do. This is what you do. You live by this. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. So don't say in that heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But don't be saying how you can really bring Christ into your situation. Just be like Christ. A lot of different ways you could expound on that, but we'll just leave it at that simply today. Verse 8, he said, but what saith it? That is, that the word is nigh thee. And this is number 2, the closeness of the word. You know, the word of faith is so close to you and me. You know, I say often, because the Bible says, beware lest any man corrupt you from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says, okay, the Word of God is quick and powerful. That means it's alive. And we all know what powerful means, right? Now, I want you to think about that for a second. How many powerless days have you spent? And you wanted God's help. But it was almost as if the help of God was as distant thing that you thought, how can I ever approach that, or how can I ever get that? And God wants to comfort us and assure us today that the word is nigh. It's near. I mean, the living word of God, the powerful word of God, that's sharper than a two-edged sword, that divides the sun into the soul and the spirit, and that's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, is near. It's not some abstract thing that only a select few can attain to. You know, there will be joy in every Christian church if this had one truth, people believe that. That the will of God was not just something that just a select few get to live. This life that we see, like the apostles and like some of the prophets, where they had joy in all situations, and they went into situations, and by faith miracles happened, and again they weren't trying to accomplish any miracles, but they weren't living for themselves. They were just walking in the direction that God wanted them to, and they were able to do what God told them to do. And how liberating it would be, how powerful it would be to have a life that just existed for God, and to get to see the fruit that would come from that. But the word is nigh thee, verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in their heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. He said, it's so near. It's close to you. Hey, it's in your mouth. Sometimes you've spoken the words of your own deliverance and chosen not to walk in that deliverance. And let me not just put you. I've done that. I mean, so many times I've preached something and then I've struggled later. I thought, you know what? And then as I go through a little bit, you know, I just preached that. I just preached my own answer to what I'm going through right now. And I was struggling some other day, and then I went to counsel somebody, and the counsel they needed was exactly what I needed. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, you know. It's always good just to go help somebody, you know. When you're going through something, just go help somebody. Now, number three, the contents of the Word. Now, he makes a statement here. The Word of faith will be preached. Now, he's going to tell us, what is the Word of faith? And the kind of, what is it? He said right here, notice what he said, verse 8. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in the heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. First thing he says about that the word of faith is that thou shalt confess with thy mouth. So the word says to confess. That means we need to publicly let it be known. We need to publicly let it be known about God, publicly let it be known. And it says, and we confess with our mouth. You know, I thank God for tracts. And I use tracts, and I'm all for using tracts, but nothing is better than confessing with your mouth. Because you know what? What is in your heart is what you'll be able to speak. But the Bible shows it, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. And the stronger your faith is in Christ, and that is what you'll speak about. You'll be able to speak those things, and people will recognize and they know that. I mean, just if you go into a stranger, if you sit on the subway and you listen to people talk, you can tell what they're full of. You can tell what's in their heart or what they're talking about. You can tell what's controlling them, what's overwhelming the heart of that moment, just by taking time to listen. And it's powerful when Christ is that which is in our heart. That's what has a powerful work. That's what God wants us to confess it. He said that thou just confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Not just confess anything. But the word of faith, the word that brings deliverance, is to confess the Lord Jesus. Well, confess the Lord Jesus what? Well, everything. If you look in the life of Jesus, so many times when he walked with somebody and when he healed somebody, he said, believe ye that I'm able to do this. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. So he wants you and I to go to a lost and dying world and even to our brothers and sisters in Christ, confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Do you have a burden today? May I confess to you the Lord Jesus is the answer. Do you need wisdom? Do you need anything at all that you don't feel like you can grab within yourself? And by the way, if you feel like you can grab within yourself, you're headed the wrong direction. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. The only thing that you can grab within yourself is the Christ that we talked about that is so nigh thee. And as you grab hold of Christ, then whatever you need to do outside of that will just flow out of that. And see, that's what, you know, just like, it's, when Christ is the foundation of everything, then that's when the fruit comes. You know, I can't get away from that. That little something that hit me a few weeks ago, how, you know, when you think about the fruits of the Spirit, again, that's God's choice for you. I mean, God could have chosen any other way for us to live. But he said, you know what? The way, the tree that I've chosen everybody to be a Spirit-filled tree. To have love, to have joy, to have meekness, have goodness, have temperance, to have faith. He said, just like he made an apple tree to produce apples, he made you. That is your kind of tree, a spiritual fruit tree. Out of all the things he called us to be, he said, that's it. And that could be, and you know what? You know what the great thing about that tree is? It can bloom in every season. Amen. It can bloom spring, summer, winter, fall. If we allow it to. But you know, when we disconnect ourselves from the tree, just like the branch, it'll eventually die, you know. Just like I like to buy my flowers, but you know, as beautiful as they all die. You know why? Because to give them away, they have to be separated from the root, or from the tree, from the vine, or rose bush, whatever the case may be. But you know what? Our fruit, when we stay connected, we can bloom continually all season long. And so he calls us. He says, confess that to people. Confess that which will allow them to be what I've made them to be, which is the Lord Jesus. That's what he said. That's what the word of faith is. Everything continually points back to Jesus Christ. Confess that. Don't try to get wrapped up in trying to. It's not complicated. He said the word of faith. Because what else will give faith? I mean, anything else apart from that just gives some type of earthly confidence that lasts for a period of time, according to Proverbs 19:21, that there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. He says, so the word of faith is that you and me confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. He said, that's the foundation of what you confess. Then he says, don't just confess it, but he said, believe it. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart. He said, believe it. Like I was just saying, what does it do for me to give counsel that I don't believe? And God has, you know, many times, and what you've walked through, the things you've gone through, a victory over, God has allowed that so you can strengthen somebody else. In fact, he talks about that in Corinthians. He said, that God comfort us in all tribulation, wherewith we may be able to comfort any that are in any trouble. Hey, the reason God allows you to go through tribulations, because he chose you to go through it so that you can comfort somebody else. So praise God. That's another reason you call out divers joy when you have all the temptations. Because, well, praise the Lord. I'm suffering so I can help somebody else. Hey, when I was in the military and we were low crawling over rocks and crawling the barbed wire fences, in my mind I just thought that I'm getting myself strong so I can save somebody's life. That was the mindset of preparation I have. I'm suffering on purpose. So that if I have to go into battle, somebody else will live because of my sacrifice. And I know war's not always about that, but that was the mindset that I went to prepare with. And when I was considering being a police officer before I came to Christ, I was training with that mindset. I was going through the drills and I was thinking about these things, you know, because I want to be in a position to preserve somebody's life. And I'm willingly enduring this so that I can do that. And now I've got something even better. I've got the gospel of Jesus Christ that can not just save someone temporarily, but can save them eternally. So God says, confess with the mouth of the Lord Jesus. So that's what the word of faith is. And then he says, believe it. Let us not just be Bible comprehending Christians. Let's truly be Bible believing Christians. Because that's what gives faith. That's what pleases God. And faith is that which always, faith does those things that man cannot do. And that's why God wants us to preach the word of faith. Because the world is finding out how helpless and hopeless they really are. You know, if everybody really slowed down long enough to meet some people, meet some new people, you'll be amazed how many people really are looking for answers. Now, that doesn't mean God's going to be their first choice. But you know what? You'll never find out if you don't take time to meet some new people and you don't take time to use your mouth to speak the word of faith that's alive and powerful and sharp and two-edged sword. And as you speak it, believe it. Because you know what? The moment you speak it, what's going to happen? All eyes are on you. It's funny, I think about how in the world we do stuff like that. You know, like most of you know, I used to play a lot of basketball. I used to love walking in the gym and just telling everybody what I was going to do with the basketball. And I expected them to look on me and see if I could do what I said I could do. And sometimes I could, sometimes I couldn't. But you know, when you build your relationship with God, and then you have that word of faith in your mouth and in your heart, and then you go speak that, you welcome the opportunity for people to see what God can do through you. I mean, that's what the Christian life is about. I mean, if you have that love of God, don't you want people to know about that love? I mean, if the God of love has saved your soul, would you not want to share that with other people? And how else will they know it? Unless you speak the word with that mouth of the Lord Jesus, that he's the answer of a situation, and they know what happens, their eyes get on you. And then you begin to struggle. Why? Because God has put you in this situation so the light of Christ can be seen. And when I sometimes I throw a paper out early in the morning. You know what? And certain houses you use a flashlight. You know, try to find the numbers on the house. You know, and you know what? I bought a new flashlight. Finally, I was buying these cheap ones, and they kept breaking. I found out I spent a bit more money on one. And I didn't understand the difference in a good flashlight and a bad one until I got a good one. I mean, I hit that thing on the house, like, boom, it's like a spotlight, you know. I was like, wow, I've been so cheap and I spent as much money on the cheap ones as I had this one, you know. And you know what? You know when I can appreciate the light the most? When it's the darkest. And I said, wow, this is a very good flashlight. But you know, when I go, I can do the same where I go in the daylight and shine that light and no appreciation for it. Just like right now, these truths we're talking about. I mean, thank God for God's people that are here that love God, that want to hear the Bible. Have you studied the Bible this week? You prayed? You talked about God? Hey, we're in friendly surroundings today. It's wonderful and it's encouraging to hear about, man, the word of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Honestly, Justin here, it doesn't really shine that much. I mean, you can't really appreciate the light so much because there's not really a great trial going through you right now. You may be personal, but I'm just saying in this room, in this situation, amongst each other, there's no hostile crowd. Nobody's getting up saying, that's a lie. You know, like, when it says, ladies, we should, no, that's not true. You know, I said, that's what the Bible says, you know. You're not having that experience here right now. But I don't think so. Nobody's spit on me yet, throwing a tomato. But we're looking for the truth of the Bible. But you know, when you get out and you, all of a sudden, simple verse like, in everything give thanks. And this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Then you go through something that's painful. And then you start being thankful just because the Bible says to you. Because you love God. And all of a sudden you see how it turns the corner on your day. Let's say I made a hospital visit Wednesday night after church. One of my neighbors, their grandmother, was in the hospital. And I tell you, this old dear old lady, she's in the hospital. And it's been a long time that I've seen somebody suffer like that in that kind of pain. But you know, I saw something I hadn't seen somebody in a long time. I mean, she was literally writhing in pain. She could not even be still. And she could just say, praise Jesus. Oh, she said, praise Jesus. She said, oh God, you're right. Oh God, you're right. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus. To Him be the glory and the power and the honor. And I mean, this woman was in pain. I took her by the hand and prayed with her, and I just started to sing songs about the Lord. You know? And I praise Jesus with her. Got to singing Jesus, keep me near the cross. Got to singing a few different songs, and you know, he was just out of his mind, like, what's going on here? You know? And I thought, you know what? God taught me something right there. I thought, man, what's in the heart is what comes out. You know, because the thing that Mark moving the most, here's this woman, so much pain. She says, oh God, you're right. Because she knew God could have chosen something different. God could have allowed her not to be in pain. But she didn't have any problem with God. She said, oh God, you're right. You know what? And she said, thank you, Jesus. You know, with her mouth. Now she could have sat there and been in all that pain and just endured it. Not complaining against God one bit. Maybe not even sin against God in our heart. But you know what moved me was the fact that the mouth took the time to confess the Lord Jesus. And I went there and encouraged her, and I left happy. You know what I saw? I saw the power of Christ resonating in a person in an absolutely miserable situation. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, this woman, she could not be still because she's in that much pain. But she just kept praising God. It sounded like at least she believed what she was confessing. It caused me to be a little stronger in my belief. I said, Lord, I've read it, I've preached it, I've yelled it, I've hollered it, I've said it for months and months and years, that you are the comforter. And I see it right now, amen, in this dark time in this person's life. I can say it right now. I'm in great health. I can run. I actually, my joints and everything feel better than they have in a long time. There's so many things I can do physically that I have not been able to do in a long time. And I can rejoice talking about the God of comfort. But you know what? I believe it by faith in what the Word of God says. But then you walk in the darkness with a person like that, and you think, wow, God is the comforter. And I thank God for her. So when my time comes, by the grace of God, my faith will be strong enough that I'll be doing the same thing. He comes to me in the hospital and I'll say, glory to God, he's right. I hope so, by the grace of God. And the third thing about the Word, it says salvation. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in that heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, that part is God's part. You confess, you believe, God saves. He's the one that changes. He makes you the new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have come new. And all things are of God. If you confess it, you believe, God saves. That's a word of faith. God wants everybody to know that word. You know what I find? The Salvation Day, the elements of the Salvation Day are similar to what every day really should be like. Because there shouldn't be a day we don't confess with the mouth of the Lord Jesus. First, we begin it by prayer for the God. Whose name do we pray in if we're children of God? Jesus' name, right? And so we confess, start our day in prayer to God based on authority of the name of His Son. Then, if we confess that, His name, then surely we believe on Him. God would have us to believe on His name. Believe in Jesus is the Word. And so if we believe the Word. And you know what happens is when we believe the Word of God, it saves us from the different snares and all the different traps that Satan has for us. So every day, the Bible, just like the mercy of salvation, we experience the salvation day. His mercy is new every morning, the Bible says. And we experience, I like that verse, he said, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And the psalmist was, this David right now, he was already saved, but he's experienced God saving him on a regular basis. And when you confess the Word, and you believe the Word, you experience God delivering you over and over and over again. And you have more reason to praise Him. Verse 11, we simply see the comfort of the Word. He says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Hey, anybody believes on Him, they're not going to be ashamed. You know, if you just believe that, and if I just believe that, you know why some people don't trust God? They just don't think it's going to work for them. Even Christian people, they look at the scripture verse, they know they can tell by the Bible and the context that this is what they should do right now, but the fears of this life and the cares of this world have so overshadowed what the Bible says, they don't just trust in it, because if they really let go of that, there's a part of them that says, it just might not work out. So I better hold on to this little part of the world where my strength is, where I'm comfortable with this, I'm used to this. So if they just believe, that if they believe on God in every situation, they wouldn't be ashamed. That's why don't you love your enemies? Well, you're just afraid that they just might take advantage of you. Why don't you bless them and they curse you? Nobody's gonna walk over me. Why don't you love unconditionally? That's just not me. You understand? You don't say what I've been through. I just can't love like that. Well, I know you can't love like that. That's why God saved you, because He knew you couldn't. He's trying to make you a creature that could. He's not trying. He made you a creature that could. It's just a matter of you yield to it or not. And God puts us in situations so we can love like that. I mean, it's for everybody. Like Stephen, that stone of death, we said, Lord, lay not this into the chart. Let that sound like he loved his enemies. They took advantage of him. They beat him for love. They beat him to death and stoned him to death because he loved them enough to tell them the truth, because he confessed with his mouth the Lord Jesus, and he believed in the reality of Christ, and thank God he believed in the resurrection, because he knew he would be with Christ again. Amen? So because of that confession, especially Baptists, we talk a lot about the resurrection, but we don't live like there really is going to be one. You know why? Because that's where we dig our roots in so deep here. Because we say, and in Baptists for years have been the ones to talk about the joy of the resurrection, shout about the resurrection. But man, why we have our anchor so deep in the world to make it a good life here, is in the resurrection is, and with Christ in heaven is for it forever. You know why? Because we really don't believe this verse here. Because if we really did, man, we'd believe and we'd be more like those people in Acts that weren't tied down to anything. Because they knew if they just believed God, they weren't ashamed. They wouldn't be ashamed. Well, see, there's the danger of our professional religion. Because we've attached all these things to religion that say success. It would do us all some good to really study the Bible characters and really look and to really think about what earthly success did they really have other than just really knowing God. Apostle Paul, Pharisee of the Pharisees. Spent his final days out. House arrest. He wasn't ashamed though, was he? He said, well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. I mean, so many people. A few Old Testament characters died with riches, but most people, it wasn't any earthly fame that blew them out of here. It was just faith in God. But God comforts you. You know, if you just believe in Him, you won't be ashamed. Doesn't matter what people say, no matter what people do, you just won't be ashamed. You know, when I was thinking about some of the day, a great thing about fruit too, you know, when God allows something to be fruit, there's nothing in the world that can change it. Because I want you to think about apple tree for a second, you know. I was mentioning this morning, it's just kind of a simple thought. You know, I can walk up to an apple tree. And by the way, apple's not my favorite fruit. I do like apples, but it's just not my favorite fruit. I can walk up and I can look at that apple. No, I can curse that apple. I can spit on that apple. I can mock that apple. In fact, I can get so mad, I'll just chop the whole tree down. But you know what? Still be an apple. I can despise an apple. I can look at that apple and say it's no value whatsoever. I can look at that apple and I can say your life here and your existence is pointless. I mean, what are you really doing for mankind? What are you really doing for the world? What value do you have being here? But you know what? You're still an apple. Can't change it. You know, and so if I yield myself to God, and I'll have the fruit, the love, the joy, the meekness, the goodness, the temperance, and faith. If somebody come curse this apple tree, somebody come curse your apple tree, somebody come mock your apple tree, somebody look at your life as you yield to God and see, man, you're just a waste. And I know you think nobody ever do that, but people do that for people that really try to sell out for God. But you know what? When you see God, you won't be ashamed. Just continue to believe. Some people won't understand the value of your existence. I've had people say, well, man, why in Parthia? Why don't you go to some other city? People told me before I came, why Canada? That's where I'm supposed to be. Why don't you go here? Why did you not go there? We don't understand, you know. But you know what? I know because of your divorce, I'm not going to ever be ashamed for coming to Canada. I'm only ever be ashamed of the times when God led me to believe in something, and I didn't. That's the only thing I'll ever be ashamed of in my life. But you know what? Those times when you yield to God, and the fruit comes, the love is there. And you know what? You know, I can curse an apple tree. And you know what? You know that apple tree? It doesn't even get bitter at me. In fact, that apple tree, it doesn't even speak back to me. In fact, that apple tree is so secure in its existence as an apple. In fact, I'm not even sure it hears my words. Because it's that solid. Amen. And you know, when we allow our spiritual fruit to be born, we're that solid as well. And God chose us. And if you think about those attributes that He chose, again, the fruits of the Spirit, that is exactly why Satan fights so hard to keep you from being a Spirit-filled individual. And that's why Satan does not want the word of faith preached. He does not want you to go telling people to. He does not want you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus in every situation. And he sure didn't want you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way he can hinder salvation, if he can get you to listen to his voice. But God comforts you, said, just believe, you'll never be ashamed. You'll never be ashamed. Last thing, very simply, the cultures of the word. I just felt like it was a see here. He said, no, it's in verse 12. Well, who can have it? Who can have it? Well, it says right here. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So every culture had the same opportunity with the word of faith. So no matter who it is, what your background is, one is not going to be blessed above the other. Who, for the same God, same Lord, pardon me, overall is rich. Well, God doesn't seem very rich to me. Well, have you really called upon him in belief? He said, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's good news. That's good news any day of the week, you know. God would have us. And you think about that. You know, so many things are unlimitless like God is. Or not unlimitless like God is. Hey, one person, they have a virus or something. Or whatever. And penicillin will help one person. But penicillin, for another person, they're allergic to it. One person has some sickness or whatever, and then this medication will help this person. Well, it won't necessarily help every person. But every person has a sin problem. And Jesus is the answer for every person. And he's got the same prescription for every single person. I always thought that illustration years ago, I remember hearing this. It's a young boy was at the youth camp, and the preacher yells out, I got a question for you. And the kid raises his hand up. And the preacher said, son, you don't even know what the question is. He said, all I know is that in this camp, the answer for everything is Jesus. The Christian camp. I wonder, do you know that? Well, you should. The Bible says you're complete in him. The Bible says that through Christ, that by him all things consist. So let me ask you a question. What could you have in your life that Jesus would not be the answer for? That's a good question. And if Jesus be the answer for everything, would it not make sense that the word of faith that should be in your mouth and my mouth daily is confessing the Lord Jesus? And if the Bible is true, that by him all things do consist, if the Bible is true that we are complete in him, then would it not also make good biblical sense to not only confess with the mouth, but to believe what we confessed about the Lord Jesus? You know, because, you know, when those two things take place, the salvation just naturally happens. You know, I'm amazed that when I'm struggling with something, if I just confess what the Word of God says and believe it, even before the answer comes, I'm already saved. Because Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast our burden unto the Lord, he'll sustain thee. Hey, once I throw the burden away, man, it's easy, it's done. So sometimes I pray for some and say, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm asking, but I know you can do. I'm just excited knowing you can do whatever you want to do. It's in your hands now. What are you going to do? And it's done for me. What? My hands are free. I like that. I mean, it's done. And I've already been delivered, even though I don't even have an answer yet. And you know what? I'm not ashamed because, hey, I just cast my burden to the Lord. God's the answer. And you know what? Don't the comfort, man. The experience of God is the comforter. I'm so glad to know that in this world, there's still, unfortunately, many various forms of discrimination, many various forms of, and I'm not, and not necessarily racially or culturally, but sometimes we just look at a person from a different side of town. We look at the person the way they got their hairstyle, and we already said, we've already got a a predetermined idea about that person. Instead of just saying, if we could just see every person in this room, no matter what we're wearing, no matter how we're dressed today, you know what the answer to every single person in here is? It's Jesus. And by the way, every single one of us needs Him as much as the other one does. Because you know how much, you may think, but some people in here are lost and some are saved. But see, but all of us need Him to have all of us. Right? So everybody in this room needs Him the same. Because if all of us, if for any of us, that He doesn't have all of us, we're going to be unfulfilled. Now, some unfortunately will die separated from God and go to hell, but God's perfect will is that we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And should be the goal of us, is God's will, not just where we think is an acceptable place to be. The reason David was known for being a man after God's own heart, because he wasn't just satisfied with being one of God's children. He wants to be an obedient one of God's children. And he wants to be everything God wanted him to be. That's only before. How do you say I should be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness? That's what he said in Psalms. You know, if you and I set our sights on that satisfaction, we will be the people God wants us to be. But we say, well, praise God, I'm saved. I rejoice in that. Now I'm saved. I'll just enjoy what the world has to offer now. You're still going to be unhappy. You're still not going to bear fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, what is there? You know, that's why there is no power to the Christian life for many people, because they speak of a time they gave their life to Christ, but because you're not filled with the Spirit. I mean, really, let's just turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay? Saved, not going to hell. What does life have to offer if there's no love in your life? I don't mean necessarily boyfriend or girlfriend, but all of us in here like to be loved. We like to know someone thinks something of us. That's why we do some of the craziest things we do to get attention for ourselves. Because we're insecure and we want somebody to see us. We want love. Just that simple. We all go to different extremes to experience what makes us feel like we're loved, have worth or value. Joy. I mean, man, what good is all the money in the world if you don't have joy? What good is the fastest car, nicest house, the greatest whatever if you don't have joy? Hey, if you have this thing you always wanted, then you don't enjoy it while you got it. What good does that do? What good is it? What good is it? Okay, peace. What good is anything that the world has to offer and you don't have peace? What good is having money in the bank, being debt free, having do anything you want, and you just don't have peace? What good is having the job you always been looking for, the relationship you've already been looking for? And if you don't have peace, you don't have love, you don't have joy. What good is it? It's nothing. What good is it to be long-suffering and patient, to labor and to endure, and what good is to have everything and not to be long-suffering? Because, you know, if you're not long-suffering, then you're not going to have joy or peace, because we live in a world where people put us in a situation that causes difficulties. If you have even somebody you love, guess what? You're going to have to show some long-suffering. If you're a parent, you have children, if you're going to keep them around and love them, you're going to have to be long-suffering. Hey, if you're married, you know, you have to be long-suffering, you know. Even though you know you're married to God's choice, you know that's the right one, but for some reason they still have that flesh attached to them. And even when they're pursuing God and going faithfully, there's still an occasional fall that just kind of gets on your nerves a little bit. So you have to be long-suffering. What good is having those if you're not long-suffering? What good is life if you can't be gentle? just always upset by it. Everything just so, you're a continual pessimist. You know, gentle, if you're gentle, you don't react to everything. God help me. You know, one thing that I think God bring me to Canada for is He helped me to learn how to be gentle. I was one of those people that continue to pessimist. Man, I'm so glad that I can't hear some of the first few years of what I used to preach. I mean, I know it was Bible, but I know it was mean, and I'm ashamed of it. It just didn't have the same spirit that God had and set it for people. Because you know what it is? I came with all these ideas and all these. My strength was in the heritage, in the religious things, and they're not really seeing Christ as the answer for everything. And since then, you know, I can deal with some terrible, sinful situations. I can deal with things that just totally aren't right. And by the grace of God, I can be gentle. Maybe not. I'm still growing. But I tell you, I thank God. Goodness. What good is life if you just can't be good? Think about it. I mean, if you have all, anything the world has to offer, you pick it, you name it, but you can't be good. Think about that. We were talking to somebody the other day about these athletes making all these $1 million. You know what the problem is? They can't be good when they get the money. Oh, I was talking to Gus, my best friend. That's who it was. He was from high school. We were talking about athletes, my Terrell Owens, a famous football player, broke. He made several $1 million in his career. Somebody else, some basketball, I used to play for the Boston Celtics, won a championship. Now playing in D League somewhere, they said he even sold his championship ring. Can't think of the guy's name, but they were talking, he was big. Like, you know why he just couldn't be good? All his money, but now they have nothing because they couldn't be good. And most important of all, what is life? But even as a Christian, if there's no faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I mean, if you really are saved, don't you want to please the God that saved you? Don't you want to do something back for Him? You know? And that's why the word of faith, that's why we must speak it with our mouth, the Lord Jesus. We must believe it. Because through that, the fruit is born. And this is the fruit. This is the fruit. And you take these attributes and you put them in any walk of life, and it's a beautiful, beautiful tree. Man, you take a beautiful rose. Man, if you can live in the desert, you look at that thing, you say, man, it's beautiful. If a rose should spring up from the snow in the dead of winter, you say, man, that's beautiful. And these things, guess what? These things can be in the life of a rich man. These things can be in the life of a poor man. These things can be in the life of someone in jail. These things can be in the life of someone in any type of bondage or any situation. I say, you ought to read some of the things about Corrie Ten Boom. And, oh man, just some of the atrocities she went through. And when the Jewish persecution and things like that. I mean, she got to meet the person, if I remember right, that raped her. And she forgave him. And God put a love in her heart for that person. And because the guy got saved. I mean, because through her testimony, he got saved. And in the midst of all, like, this beautiful fruit grew. This love for him, this joy, this peace. Temperance. And we're good. There again, the temperance. Going back to people, lots of money. Hey, if there's no temperance, it's all gone. There's no self-control. And no meekness. Hey, you can have power and authority. If you have meekness, nobody want to be around you. Except those that are the tree, but I still love you anyway. Amen. So that's the key. If we all have the fruit, then man, you know what? This church will be a wonderful tree. And it'll always be strong. You know why it'll always be strong? Because it'll always simply be like Christ, which is the goal of everything. Father, thank you for the word of God today. I can say so much more. But I pray, Lord, would you help it to be resonating truth in my life every single day? that I speak and live the word of faith. Help me to boldly and confidently proclaim in every situation with my mouth the Lord Jesus. And then once I confess it, Father, help me to unwaveringly in absolutely every situation believe it. And Lord, I pray that you would